I've owned my company for 14 years now, and I can tell you that payroll is a four-letter word. I hate doing it. It eats up hours I don't have, and it costs me money I could be saving. But my accountant's too expensive, and I'm not sure who to call. But I know I need help.
We're Paychex, and we take all the hassles out of small business payroll. We save you time and money. It's easy. Call, fax, or give us your payroll information securely online, and we take care of the rest. We calculate the correct taxes, manage payments and direct deposits. We even send out your checks. Payroll doesn't need to be a four-letter word anymore. We're so sure that we can save you time and money that we'll give you a month's payroll free. Just for calling 877-726-3369. Get 1 month's payroll for free. Call Paychex right now. 877-726-3369. That's 877-726-3369.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from George Mason University. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, William Tidwell, Cressa, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Katie Jordan, Verisov, Andrew Lewis, Lewis Financial Group, and John Hill, and George Mason University. We have a great lineup of guests for you on our show today, including Jeff McClure, CEO and founder of Freedom Capital, Frank Petrantonio, did I pronounce that correctly?
Yes.
Oh, good, okay. Frank Petrantonio, partner in charge of Cooley, Russell Inman, CEO of Cobalt, and Sue Evans, CEO of Evans Incorporated. We're going to get to know Jeff McClure, co-founder and CEO of Freedom Capital first. Jeff, what is Freedom Capital? What do you guys do?
Freedom Capital is an alternative asset management firm that has launched a new...
All right. Wait, this is complicated, asset management firm. So basically, if I understand correctly, you're raising money and looking to invest the money. Is that fair to say?
That's correct.
Okay, where's the money being raised from?
So the firm's historical background has been in the institutional capital markets, raising money in New York City.
But nowadays,
this is our first foray into a public offering that will be available to anyone.
The
prototypical investor.
Where are you investing the money into? What's the money being invested in?
So our thesis is that there is no other asset management firm that specifically wants to invest in opportunities that enhance the prosperity, the security, and the freedom of the United States and its allies.
Excellent. And how large or how small is the company?
We've registered $500 million of securities, but intend to take that up to $2 billion.
Right. Where are you from originally?
I grew up in a little town called Allen, Texas.
Allen, Texas.
Now a suburb, but was a cow pasture.
Mm-hmm. And how many? What was the population of Allen, Texas when you were growing up?
Oh, about 1,500 people.
About 1,500 people. And what kind of sports did you play when you were a kid?
I focused mostly on football and baseball.
Football and baseball. What was the common thread between the role you played on both of those sports?
You know, I always tended to think of myself as trying to be a leader on those teams.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean? What's it take to be a leader? What's that? What do you mean by that?
Well, I think that you take it upon yourself to try to motivate the team, keep morale up, to make sure that everybody's working this towards the same common goal.
So you felt like a leader at that point in time. What's that have to do now with being the co-founder and CEO of Freedom Capital?
Well, I think you have to be a leader to create new companies and new opportunities. And we've been at this owning our own firm since 2002, and I think it takes leadership to stay in business that long and to grow businesses that way.
What is it that you know special, that you have a very special sensitivity to, that's allowed you to be successful? What do you know really special? What are you really sensitive to?
I think we...
You.
Me. I think sensing opportunities in the capital markets or in business, and then understanding ways to capitalize on those opportunities.
Uh-huh. How about people? You have a special sensitivity to people?
I do. I think going back to the leader of a team, I view everything we do as a team effort. I'm involved in this business with my wife.
Earlier we were speaking about the fact that you mentioned some folks you felt were corrosive to a team. That's an interesting word. What do you mean by that, and why do you have such a sensitivity to that?
Sure. I mean, there are superstar people in this world and in business that have great skill sets, but they just get into a team and are corrosive, and they kill morale. And at the end of the day, those are the most poisonous people that you can have, sort of superstar.
Why are you so sensitive to that? Where would that come from in your childhood?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I think it's just a sense of playing on enough different teams and enough different venues that you start to notice what kind of people can really kill the success of a team and learn to stay away from them.
Oh, interesting. John.
Jeff, you're building teams, and you're a builder. What did you learn from your coaches or your teachers on some of these teams you played on growing up that you can use now about forming teams and building institutions?
Well, I think what you can learn from your coaches that they can be very tough, very hard people, but still great leaders of a team. And so I think it instills that everybody doesn't have to love each other to have a successful team, but everybody has to be aligned with the same set of goals and values.
I understand that you work with your wife. Uh-huh. Whose idea was that?
Well, I think at first it was neither one of our ideas, because working with your wife and raising a family together can be, you know, awfully tough.
So you have guys have kids?
We have two children. Two
children.
Girls, 12 and 8.
So who wears the pants at the office? Who wears the pants at home?
Oh, she's the boss, no doubt about it.
Well, how do you guys split up responsibilities at the office, and how do you split up responsibilities at home?
No, I was a little bit facetious. I've taken on the role of primarily when we have to go, somebody has to go somewhere and do something or be away from the house, that's my job, right? So she stays home and...
Uh-huh. So and you're the guy that's on the road. You're more of the salesperson?
Well, I definitely sales, but also just all parts of the strategic plan, really.
Mm-hmm. How young were you when you started making money? How young were you when you...
When I started my first job, 14
yeah.
years old.
Doing what kind of stuff?
I was helped a guy that laid carpet for a living, so I would go around mm-hmm. and...
What did you do different than the other kids that were 14 and helping folks lay carpet?
Well, I think primarily was having a job. I don't think there's a fair amount of kids I grew up with that had jobs, but
whose idea was it for you to get the job?
It was mine.
Mom and dad didn't push you to do it?
I think mom actually didn't want me to, and I think uh-huh. dad was sort of indifferent.
So why'd you do it?
I wanted to have some extra money, and I thought uh-huh. it would be
What'd you do with the extra money?
You know what? I think I blew it. I uh-huh. don't know. Baseball cards.
So you were 14 and you got this job. What would you learn from laying carpet that has lent itself to your success today?
Well, I think that having a work ethic and always looking for opportunity. I went out and found that opportunity he was an assistant baseball coach that I was playing for. And so always looking and finding opportunities will create success for yourself.
Do you have ideas? Do you keep coming up with ideas of new ideas of how to make money?
Yeah, I think, as I said, we've started our own firm in 2002. And as a small financial services firm, we've had to recreate mm-hmm. ourselves every 3, 4, 5 years.
Either of your kids like you?
Both of my kids are like me in different ways.
Uh-huh. What do you mean?
My oldest daughter is very much a problem solver. She's very intellectually oriented. Mm-hmm. She's got a very cool sense of humor.
How about
and my younger daughter just kicks people right in the butt.
No, I don't think that's you.
Would you say that there's someone who's been the most influential over the course of your life in helping you to develop these leadership roles?
Yeah. Where'd you learn this? Who mentored you? How'd you learn how to do all this stuff?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I greatly admire both of my parents and they're both great people.
Well, what did your mom do for a living?
My mom was a housewife.
What did a housewife teach you about building a fund and being a broker?
Not much about that, except that she wanted to go back to school. She always felt like she didn't have an opportunity to get an education.
Yeah.
And so she graduated from college the year I graduated from high school and became a teacher for the next 20 years.
She graduated from college and you graduated from high school.
Yes.
The same. Wow, what did that? How did you feel about that?
I felt like I ate a lot of casseroles that she made.
Aside from the fact you ate a lot of casseroles, how did it feel that your mom's graduating college, you're graduating high school? How'd that feel?
I was very proud of her, right? Because she went back and did something that's very difficult to do. And
you were proud of your mom?
Of course.
Huh? How about that? How do you think she felt?
I think she was very proud of herself too.
Is mom aware of the success you're enjoying nowadays?
Oh yeah.
How do you think she feels about the success you're enjoying?
Oh, I think she's very proud of both of her kids.
Why would she be proud of your success? What is it about your success she thinks that she's enjoying?
Well, I think one that success makes you feel like you're a good person. I mean, I think she thinks that that I enjoy it. So that's one. Mm-hmm. And I think she, you know, feels like that. Well, really, that's it. Is what you're doing making you happy? And is it making you lead a good life?
Wait a second. I thought you were going to tell me that success was all about how much money you made.
You know, maybe when I was 20, I would have said maybe that's true. But, gosh, that's not what you say at 50 years old.
Wow. So what's your definition of success nowadays?
That you're leading a good life. You're doing the right thing. You raise your family the right way. I want to make money. Don't get me wrong. We make money.
Yeah.
That doesn't
How about
define
that?
You anymore.
Yes, John.
Jeff, you've got a patriotic theme to your investments, your investment thesis. What was growing up in a small town in Texas? How did that play into that? How did that form the way the strategy you put together for this business now?
Well, this I do take from my father, that we always had a very strong sense of doing the right thing and of patriotism. And I've lived that my whole life. So, and this that's what makes this job now, this fun, so much fun, is we get up every day and we feel like we're doing something good.
So your sense of growing up in a small town really has an influence. This is not just marketing stuff. This really has lent itself to the culture, to the feel, to the marketing as well of the new business.
Well, I think it certainly gave us a sense of the opportunity to, that there are people all over small towns in this country that share our values. That
what's the website address of Freedom Capital?
Freedom Capital Funds with plural with .com.
FreedomCapitalFunds.com. We've been speaking with Jeff McClure, co-founder and CEO of Freedom Capital, here on Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohn, with my co-host, William Tidwell, Cressa, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Katie Jordan, Varasov, Andrew Lewis, the Lewis Financial Group, and John Hill and George Mason University. We will be back in a moment right after this business spotlight. And don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. That's executiveleadersradio.com. And your name is?
Angie Collier.
Angie, what organization are you with?
I'm with Aronson LLC.
And what does Aronson do? What do you guys do for a living?
We're a top 100 accounting firm serving assurance, consulting, and tax services for today's most active industry sectors.
So why do your clients appreciate you?
We distinguish ourselves through client service.
What do you mean?
Well, we get to know the industries we're in really well and provide a comprehensive business solutions, working with our clients at all different stages of their life cycle, providing them more than just tax and accounting.
Well, what do you like about your job?
I love seeing us start with our clients, especially in the startup community, and grow with them. I also love seeing our clients stick with us and be able to kind of grow with them.
So you really enjoy the relationships you have with your clients.
100%.
And you're an accounting firm?
We are indeed.
And you're working with startups through growth companies, huh? Right through exit. What's the website address?
AronsonLLC.com.
Let me have that one more time.
AronsonLLC.com.
Excellent. This has been your Business Spotlight. And your name is?
Marceline Rogers.
And Marceline, what organization are you with?
Rose Financial Services.
And what does Rose Financial Services do?
We provide outsourced accounting and financial management through our shared service center in Rockville, Maryland.
Tell me a little bit more about that. What do you mean?
We provide financial clarity through a cost-effective and scalable financial infrastructure that provides meaningful and timely financial information and guidance while minimizing compliance-related risks.
So who are your clients?
Our clients are across the spectrum from government contracting to corporate to not-for-profits.
What do you like about your job?
Well, what I like in terms of from a professional angle is starting our prospects and clients on a path towards helping them succeed in their business with our help. And then on a personal level, I like the camaraderie in our team.
Cool.
Also,
and the website address for the organization?
RoseFinancial.com.
Let me have that one more time.
RoseFinancial.com.
This has been your Business Spotlight.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, William Tibault Cressa, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Katie Jordan, Varasov, Andrew Lewis, Lewis Financial Group, John Hill, and George Mason University. I'd like to introduce Frank Pietrantonio, who's the partner in charge of Cooley LLP. Frank, what is Cooley LLP? What kind of stuff do you guys do?
We're a large international general practice firm that focuses on technology companies, taking them from startup right up through maturity.
So you're a law firm, and what's your role in the law firm?
So right now I head up the Reston office. We have about 80 attorneys, 170 employees out of a firm that's probably about 2,500 employees.
Interesting. So you're running how many people? How many people are you responsible for?
I'm responsible right now for about 170 people.
About 170 people. And give me a sense of how young were you in the sensitivity to people, when this empathy that's within your bones, when did this begin to show up? How did this develop?
I think it really started in the years I was at a Jesuit high school in New York City.
Tell us more about that. Why'd you choose to go there to begin with?
Well, I was fortunate enough, it's an all-tuition-free school that was founded about 100 years ago, and I thought I'd get a great education with the Jesuits, and I'd have some adventure traveling into New York from Elizabeth, New Jersey.
And what would you learn from that environment that you've brought to Cooley?
Well, I think I learned a sense of commitment and a sense of community. The responsibility for not only what you bring to the table in any given project, but your responsibility to help others be the best that they can be as well.
And how'd you get that? I'm trying to figure that out again.
Well, I mean, I think the Jesuit experience is a somewhat unique educational experience.
What do you mean?
I think it is not only intellectually rigorous, but it is spiritually rigorous, and it really kind of forces you to think outside of yourself.
And how's that affected you and your building of this firm, this law firm?
Well, I think what it's done is it's helped me think about being in other people's shoes as we go day by day and help them be better at what it is that they do and face the obstacles that they face.
Where did you learn the sense of empathy? Which parent taught you this?
I think I probably would say that comes more from my mom.
Tell me a little bit about what did your mom do for a living?
My mom was a homemaker, and then when my youngest sister was in high school, she went back and got her GED then got a job at a bank as a bank teller.
So mom taught you empathy?
Absolutely. She's very attuned to not only within our extended family, but in family and friends of what people think, how they feel. How to provide them with comfort when they need it and how to provide an amplification to their happiness when that would be good too.
So how's that affect your building the law firm? How do you practice that stuff?
Well, I think I try to practice it by thinking of each person as an individual, bringing them into a team and thinking about how best they can participate, but also being attuned to the daily flows that everybody has, right? Not everybody is on their A game every day. And you can't expect that every day of everybody.
Oh, my gosh. How about Dad? What'd you get from Dad?
I think I got a sense of discipline and drive. My dad was the son of an Italian immigrant who had his own bakery. And my father made his way ultimately in his late 20s to engineering school after he'd been in the service. I think that sense of drive kind of came from him.
Did you ever meet your grandfather?
Oh, absolutely. My grandfather played an important role in my life.
Like what?
Well, I mean, you take it as simply the sense of the story of drive of someone coming to the United States at the age of 14 and establishing a business
on his own. He
came to New York from Italy.
And he was 14 years old. Oh, I guess the boats weren't too air-conditioned at that point or heated, huh?
No, they were not.
And he told you stories about this?
He told me stories about that. He told me stories naturally about my father growing
and,
up
and
in,
how did
in
you,
New York.
How did your grandfather's stories about immigrating to this country affect you?
Well, I mean, I think it's a little selfish of me to worry about a 10-hour day when my grandfather would put in 16 hours to try to get his family in a better place.
I just wanted to know. John?
Frank, because I know Northern New Jersey lived up there, Elizabeth strikes me as a very tight little community. Is that right?
I think that's a fair assessment.
Yeah, and a tough community, I know.
Yes, absolutely.
A very tough, tight community. So, and then you went to another community when you went to high school. So you're running a law firm. Most senior lawyers I know would rather be the partner with the highest billing rate rather than the partner in charge because professional service firms or partnerships are kind of a nightmare to manage. What did growing up in a tight, tough community and then getting the community experience in high school, how does that translate into your leadership now?
Well, I get a lot of satisfaction from seeing other people succeed. I get a lot of satisfaction from knowing that we're doing the right things in our community. And if I can contribute that at the leadership role that I'm at, then I derive a lot more satisfaction out of that than perhaps I might otherwise from being the highest billing rate partner.
Right. But unlike CEO, you really can't go around telling your partners what to do per se. So what did you learn growing up, especially maybe the empathy from your mom or in the community that lets you get stuff done without being able to tell other partners really what to do?
Well, I think that you've got to convince people. You've got to provide some sense of purpose to them as well as to what would be better for everybody in the long run. That sometimes you have to give a little in the short term to get a lot in the long term. Mm-hmm. And I think that sense of building community as well and helping other partners see how they can be helpful to one another. Now, mm-hmm. I have to say, Cooley has a terrific culture that I've been able to step into as well. And I hope that I've made mm-hmm. that culture stronger.
Excellent.
But I didn't set it up by myself.
Frank, you in a way, followed your father's footsteps in becoming an engineer. What was the pivotal point that made you decide to become a patent lawyer?
Well, I think the most pivotal point was that I was trying to find a job, actually, in D.C. My wife and I graduated from law school at the same time. We weren't married at the time, and I wanted to be here. And the best way to get a job was to merge that technical mm-hmm. background and legal background, and I got
when
into
you, when
IP.
You were a kid, you mentioned earlier, when you were a kid, that how many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have a brother and two sisters.
A brother and two sisters. Where are you in the pecking
I'm
order?
I'm the oldest one.
Uh-huh. So you mentioned that when you were a kid, you used to work with Dad around the house. Doing what kind of stuff, and what did you learn from that?
I don't think there was a house project that my dad undertook that I didn't participate, whether it was putting up the stand-up pool in the backyard, putting new pavers down, changing out our electrical lines, putting up paneling, that type of thing.
So what did you learn from that?
I think I learned that at least two things. One, you got to be clear in when you give somebody directions, right? When there is ambiguity, bad things can happen. Second thing is you got to start to develop a sense of patience. You might have an expectation of how something should go, but it doesn't always go that way, and you have to figure out how to adapt.
So this management stuff that you've got in you, this is really inside of you.
Absolutely. I mean, I think I got it from all of those weekends that we did work together.
John, you're a professor here at GMU, and you told me a story a little bit earlier about a thesis that you've got regarding something that's inside or outside. What was that whole thing about, real succinctly, about leadership and it's something that you've got. Remember that the team you were
on? Yeah, well, it's I was coming back to what's the source of your authority, running a law firm, where does it come from? In essence, when you run a partnership or the higher up you get in your organization, your source of authority as a leader depends more on who you are than your skills and what you can do. I'm wondering how this character shaping experiences of growing up with helping your dad translate into your leadership.
We're going to have Frank back again. We're running out of time. What is the website address of Cooley?
Cooley.com.
Cooley.com. We've been speaking with Frank Pietrantonio, who's the partner in charge of Cooley LLP here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. We'll be back in a moment, and I thank my co-hosts William Tidwell, Cressa, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Katie Jordan-Varasov, Andrew Lewis, Lewis Financial Group, and John Hill and George Mason University. Back in a moment, right after this business spotlight.
Nice.
There's more than one way to invest in your education. Investing in the right products, securities, and real estate generates secure and sound futures. What about an investment that retains its value? Consider college real estate. College real estate can provide housing for students and generate returns for their families. Through this special offer from Austin iLabs, you can download the free workbook from collegerealestate.com to see if this investment is right for you. Go to collegerealestate.com/radio.
If you want to work until you keel over, have less of everything in retirement, or give back more of your hard-earned money to the stock market again, then just ignore me. But if you'd like to protect the money you save, receive a steady, predictable retirement income, and enjoy financial security for as long as you live, then listen to this. You can download a free report that reveals the wealth-building secrets Wall Street and the banks don't want you to know. You'll learn how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and real prosperity without risking your money in the Wall Street casino, and how to get the money you need when you need it, simply by asking for it. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement and know your money will last as long as you do. To learn more about this method and to get your free report, go to 39security.com. That's the number 39security.com. 39security.com. Go to 39security.com.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-352-3719. That's 1-800-352-3719.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588.
Has your life changed? Are you now in a situation where you need health insurance? Here's some simple advice. Call our health insurance hotline right now. This free service will do all the work for you. Shop the health insurance marketplace and find the plan that best meets your health insurance needs. Don't get lost searching for plans on your own. Let a licensed agent help you for free. According to a report on CNN Money, almost half of those eligible for subsidies are paying less than $3 a day for bronze or silver plans. Remember, under Obamacare, most Americans qualify for health insurance. So get ready to let us do all the work for you and find out the best health insurance plan for your needs. Call this number now.
800-659-7975. 800-659-7975 for your free health insurance quote. Call now. 800-659-7975. 800-659-7975.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. and we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, William Tidwell-Crossa, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Katie Jordan-Barasov, Andrew Lewis Financial Group, and John Hillen, George Mason University. I'd like to introduce Russell Inman, who's the CEO of Cobalt. Russell, what is Cobalt? What kind of stuff do you guys do?
So Cobalt's a software company. We implement customer relationship management solutions, primarily for associations, nonprofits, and certification boards.
Mm-hmm. Whose idea was this?
It was my idea after several previous ideas.
Uh-huh. How young were you when you started getting ideas? How young?
I was very young.
Like what?
So in right around 10 or 11 years old, I had my first idea for a failed business.
Mm-hmm. What was the idea?
So the idea was I loved snow skiing. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to come up with a service that would allow people to find out where the best conditions were at any resort so they could get the best experience.
What year was this?
This is around 84, 85.
How old were you?
I was like 10 or 11.
Sounds like a pretty good idea. What was your next idea?
So my next idea was a boat cleaning business.
How old were you then?
About 14 years old.
Where'd that idea come from?
There were a lot of boats in the area, and mm-hmm. someone needed to clean them.
Mm-hmm. So tell us about, what did Dad do for a living?
So my father was a lawyer mm-hmm. And then also ran a private equity firm.
Mm-hmm. So your dad's career continued to evolve. But where'd you get the creativity from? What'd your mom do for a living?
So my mom has a master's in teaching and taught special education.
And she taught special education. And did she ever come home and tell you stuff about what she was doing during the day?
Sure, absolutely. All the time she would come back and, you know, relay some of the interesting antics of the students and challenges and problems that she was having.
And when she would come home, when we were speaking earlier, it wasn't that she was lamenting this stuff. She, if I understand correctly, your mom would tell you about some of the things that were happening at school and present them as problems to you, to engage you in getting creative with solving some of these problems?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, she's big on thinking outside the box and, you know, encouraging, you know, myself, my sister, to come up with new ways of addressing whatever problems we were looking at.
So your mom engaged you as a young kid. How young were you when your mother would engage you in helping solve these problems?
Probably around the same, you know, 10 or 11 years old.
So your mom gave you confidence in your decisions.
Right,
she gave
absolutely.
You confidence in your ability. Is that one of the reasons you started coming up with all these business ideas?
Yeah, I think uh-huh. that the fact that...
Why was your mom interested in special education, by the way?
So she had a sister who had a disability, mm-hmm. and so I think
What's her sister's name, first name?
Barb.
Mm-hmm. Do you know Barb?
Yeah, absolutely.
How did Barb affect you?
Well, I think I saw, you know, her needs, you know, that were obviously different than, you know, my needs and looking at the world and mm-hmm. just figuring out a new way of looking at the same things that we were seeing.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
So she had to look at things a different way, and I had to figure out how she was looking at them so that I could
Give me an example of how you observed and worked with your aunt to solve problems.
Sure. I mean, one example is, you know, we would go out to dinner at a restaurant mm-hmm. and she would, mm-hmm. you know, she would act, you know, inappropriate as we would think you would mm-hmm. be mm-hmm. acting mm-hmm. in a restaurant mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. people wouldn't necessarily mm-hmm. understand someone who is you know, 30 years old.
How's that affecting your management nowadays? How's that affect your interactions with people, what you learn from your aunt?
Well, I learned that, you know, everyone is different in their approach to the world, and you need to...
I guess the good thing about being the boss, though, and being the CEO, it says you're a CEO of Cobalt, is that you can tell people what to do, and either they do it or you fire them, right?
In my early years, that was my approach.
That's not the way it works,
That's not the way it works.
Oh, so what'd your aunt teach you about running a business?
I mean, she taught me that, you know, you really had to get in, you know, as someone earlier said, you have to get in the shoes of that person and make sure you understand their worldview, not just your worldview.
Mm-hmm. Andrew?
So being attuned to special needs, it seems like you learned that from your aunt and your mom. What'd you learn from Dad? Because you're a problem solver. You think outside the box.
Yeah,
in addition,
were
you exposed to your dad in the private equity?
Yeah. So that's where the finance and accounting side of things, so numbers, that's what I learned from him. And you gotta have the numbers to support the ideas that you're bringing to the table.
You've been an entrepreneur since 10. What's your track record in your own estimation? What are you, like 4-3, 5-3-1? How have you done?
I'd go with 1-1, lost 3.
Which column did you learn the most from?
I mean, the losses for sure. Yeah. I mean, that's where, you know, and I was talking about the numbers. You got to have the numbers to back it up. You've got to think through those things.
Wow.
And growing up with your mom or your dad, who gave you, do you think, more the ability to pivot? Because you seem to have been able to pivot and move to the next idea when you know one's failing. You don't get stuck on it.
Right. Yeah, that definitely came from my mom in the thinking outside the box and thinking creativity.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned, as Herb put it, you had a few legitimate jobs. How would you say that they have impacted you?
I would say the biggest thing they've impacted me is figuring out that that's not what I want to do.
What do you mean?
That's taking, you know, directions from someone else and, you know, from both an individual level and a strategic level.
Because you really enjoy coming up with the ideas and solving problems with your mother helped embed in you as a young boy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So when you bring somebody into the organization, how large or how small is the organization of Cobalt?
We've got about 30 people.
Uh-huh. When you're bringing somebody in, when you're hiring somebody, what are you looking for?
We're looking for we have...
What do you look for?
What I look for is what we call, you know, GSD,
mm-hmm.
getting
that?
Stuff done. Mm-hmm. You know, do they have the ability to look at a situation, mm-hmm. put their head down, and then get the task
Super.
Done.
Katie?
You mentioned that you founded the company in 1996, and what you were doing then is not what you're doing now. What caused that shift in your focus?
A couple different things. I mean, the tech bust at around 2000 through 2002, and then, you know, 9/11 pretty much put the nail in the coffin of what we were doing at that point. People just stopped spending money on what we were providing at that time, which was custom software solutions.
Okay.
And what did you learn about yourself through that transition?
I learned that you have to really want it to pivot with an existing organization and do something different with that existing
uh-huh.
organization.
Joseph, did you have a question?
Well, you've pivoted several times now. What would you say about your current iteration? Are you ready to pivot again?
We're ready to pivot when it comes to – right now we're very successful, but the pivot that I see is in the change in business-to-business sales and marketing. That process has really shifted
so
in the last 5 years.
So do you need to constantly change and evolve?
You need to constantly change.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Andrew, question?
Yeah, so growing up at an early age, you had the confidence to, you know, start these little business ventures, and then they became a big idea. Is that what gave you the confidence to go right into your own idea right out of grad school as opposed to working for a big company?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I knew that I wanted to do something that was my idea, and the best time I felt, especially in 96 when the internet was really taking off, was there's an opportunity here. I've got to be part of this wave.
Hmm. Interesting. Katie?
Do you have any children?
Two children.
Do you see what of yourself do you see in them?
Well, I see the drive to be the winner in my son, and I see more of the problem solving in my daughter.
Mm-hmm. Which is what's the similarity between being a dad and the CEO? Similarity.
The similarity is I think solving problems on a human level, you know, coming in and dealing with conflict. Mm-hmm. You know, my kids are having conflict. Mm-hmm. You know, some of my managers might be having conflict. I've got to come in.
What's more difficult, being a dad or being a CEO?
I'd go with being a CEO. I mean, because
how come
you don't have, you know, at the end of the day with kids, especially, you know, my kids are younger. They're mm-hmm. only 10 right now. They're
mm-hmm.
twins.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the end of the day, I can come in and say, okay, listen, that's enough.
Mm-hmm.
We're moving on.
Uh-huh.
With managers and with other interpersonal uh-huh. conflicts at the office, uh-huh. I've got to take the longer uh-huh. view and uh-huh. see that through all the way.
Who wears the pants in the family, you or your wife at home?
At home?
Yeah, truthfully now.
Truthfully? Well, I mean, truthfully, she's the one who makes the final decision with the kids.
Why?
Why?
Yeah.
Because I know if I made the final decision, then I'd be a little too strict.
So you have confidence in trusting other people's decisions. How long have you been married?
I've been married since 2000.
Mm-hmm. What's success? What's the key to a successful marriage?
Key to a successful marriage, I think, is the same thing: taking that long view, the mm-hmm. humanistic approach, and understanding the different worldview.
What's the website address for Cobalt?
It's cobalt.net.
We've been speaking with Russell Inman, CEO of Cobalt, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. That's executiveleadersradio.com. And I'd like to thank my co-hosts, William Tidwell Cressa, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Katie Jordan Varasov, Andrew Lewis, Lewis Financial Group, and John Hillen, George Mason University. Back in a moment, right after this business spotlight. Want help building your business with help from this show's CEOs? Our CEOs can help you uncover more opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money. All the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. And some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. The same CEOs you've heard on the show for 10 years may be willing to help you build your business, uncover new opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that. Succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. Some of the CEOs who have appeared on our shows over the last 10 years may be willing to help you grow, assuming you're serious about your success, serious about your own success, because it all starts with the leader. If you're serious about creating your own successful business, or truly committed to putting your nose to the grindstone and doing whatever it takes to make your business successful, we may be able to match you with successful CEOs who have created millions of jobs and earned millions of dollars to help you create your success. We've established unique relationships with a unique universe of over 7,000 CEOs who have created substantial wealth for their companies, their teams, and themselves. These women and men get the build in their blood and often continue to start and build businesses even after they've created substantial wealth for themselves because they love the challenge of building a business. Perhaps we can present you and your business to some of these CEOs to gain their interest in helping you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. To hopefully match you with some of the CEOs we've had on the show for the last 10 years. mentors@executiveleadersradio.com.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
I've owned my company for 14 years now, and I can tell you that payroll is a four-letter word. I hate doing it. It eats up hours I don't have, and it costs me money I could be saving. But my accountant's too expensive, and I'm not sure who to call. But I know I need help.
We're Paychex.
and we take all the hassles out of small business payroll. We save you time and money. It's easy. Call, fax, or give us your payroll information securely online, and we take care of the rest. We calculate the correct taxes, manage payments and direct deposits. We even send out your checks. Payroll doesn't need to be a four-letter word anymore. We're so sure that we can save you time and money that we'll give you a month's payroll free. Just for calling 877-726-3369. Get 1 month's payroll for free. Call Paychex right now. 877-726-3369. That's 877-726-3369.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, and we'd like to introduce Sue Evans, CEO of Evans Incorporated. Sue, what is Evans Incorporated? What do you guys do?
Evans Incorporated is a consulting and advisory firm, and we work with leaders and organizations to help them implement transformative change.
Uh-huh. How large or how small is this organization?
About 50 people.
50 people. And how'd you get a job with it?
Well, the best way is to be a referral. 85% of our employees.
How'd you get a job with it?
I keep answering that question wrong. Uh-huh. Yes, I was the founder. So
you
I
were
started.
The founder of the company.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And where are you from originally?
I'm from Milwaukee.
Uh-huh. From Milwaukee. And how many brothers and sisters?
I have one sister and two brothers, and I'm the oldest.
You're the oldest. How do you think being the oldest affected you?
There was expectations to step in and to be the babysitter, but also to when my father started bought his business, I was the one that was pulled in on demand when he needed an extra person in the office.
How old were you when you were pulled in to help him?
Probably early high school, maybe.
How old?
Probably 13, 14.
Doing what kind of stuff?
Answering the phones.
Answering the phones. What else did you do in your dad's office?
At various points in time, I ran the office. His office manager took a summer off, and he.
How old were you when you were running the office when your dad's office manager was?
I was 20.
You were 20. When you were 14 and 15, working in your dad's office, and your friends are out playing, how'd you feel about that?
There was an expectation, and when my father said, we need you down there, there was the expectation on delivery. So
you're comfortable taking responsibility on. You're comfortable with responsibility.
Yes.
Uh-huh. How about your mom? Didn't your mom work in that business as well?
She did.
Mm-hmm.
What
would your mom do?
She would do bookkeeping, and she would also do the past due calls.
Mm-hmm. Were there certain things that your mom did better than you, or certain things that you did better than your mom, or how'd that all work itself out?
Well, we weren't in the office at the same time, so we didn't have to kind of run that competition, but she was very good on the phones
are
with people
more,
as well.
Are you more like your mom or your dad?
I'm probably more like my father.
What do you mean?
Setting expectations and being a leader, not that my mother wasn't, but my father was also one to take risks and to step in front.
So this business that you started, where'd the confidence come from?
I think... from my parents. My mother would give us all a fairly long leash with a fairly high expectation that if we went out, we had to come. You know, there was no excuse.
So how'd that affect you?
To try different things, and there was never any kind of doubt that I wouldn't be able to do something that I set out to do.
But there was no excuse. So basically, you know, if you failed, you failed.
Yeah.
Didn't that, like, cripple you and frighten you and stuff like that?
No, but there's also knowing that you had a safety net underneath you. So
wait a minute. What was the safety net?
that you know, you weren't going to be banished because you failed, but you were going to be given an opportunity to try something else.
Safety, huh? Do you bring that into the business?
Yeah.
How?
Yeah. I encourage people to try different things. I send them off to...
So if I'm working with, if I'm one of your 50 people and I make a mistake, you're just not going to go fire me?
We try not to. We invest too much in people to just fire them because they made a mistake.
Wait a minute. So you're investing in your people so that I can go make mistakes?
Well, there's a consequence if you make really, really careless ones repeatedly.
But you're the kind of boss that I can talk to. You're the kind of boss I can, you know.
Very much so.
What do you mean?
I think that as we've grown fairly rapidly in the last couple years, even though we've been around for 22 years, we've had a hockey stick effect, and yet people can come to my office and they can go through things, and we have a very open dialogue.
Joseph?
So you come from a diverse background. You have the software engineering. You have the professional ergonomics. Which side of the brain runs the company?
It initially was probably more the left side, the analytic, the numbers, the process. But as we've grown and we have more people, the right side has to play a pretty strong role in it.
And do you think the right side has more of a play on growth than the left?
As you grow more people and in order to engage them, yes.
Mm-hmm. Andrew?
Sue, at an early age, your dad had the confidence to kind of let you sit on the front lines and at age 13 and interface with customers. Did you have an appreciation back then that, you know, that the livelihood of the family was...
Yeah, you could have put the family on the street.
Know, how did that affect you later as an entrepreneur, that confidence?
Good.
I don't think I felt in any instance that I was going to set us out on the street, but it was also a sense that this was a family business.
Uh-huh.
And
John?
Yeah, we were all in it.
So you've got a PhD, yes?
Mm-hmm.
What
yes,
field,
I do.
In what field?
Industrial engineering.
And which, from what side of the family does the urge to get a PhD in industrial engineering comes from? Is that you like working around HVAC gear all day? Or where did that come from?
You know, my father didn't understand why I was getting my PhD, and my mother was so proud. But they were both extremely proud, but it was, I think, my mother, because she didn't have a college degree, was always pushing and pushing and pushing to make sure that we...
And then you did some work in the defense space, too, in the
National Security
State. So what's it like to be a woman scientist working with defense guys? What made you have the confidence to do that? Because that's a hard entree into that crowd.
So when I chose my career in computer science, I was in an all-girls school. The counselor said you could be a math teacher. I said, I don't think so. So I picked computer science, and I was the only woman in those programs. And you didn't see people because of their gender. You saw people because of their skills and moving forward.
It goes back to the fact when your father needed you at the age of 14, you just needed to jump in and get the job done. Your nature is just to get in there and get the job done. Andrew, did you have one last question?
Yeah, as your dad had expectations on you and you rose to the occasion, how are you with your employees? Do you have certain expectations on them?
Good.
And
we
do you give them a long leash?
We have a very strong culture of learning and professional development, and people are expected to get their master's degrees, get their certifications, and then bring back to the company and give back to the clients
what,
as
what's
well.
What's the best part of your job, Sue?
The best part is when I interview, when I go and do client interviews, voice of the customer, and they tell me that we are great people pickers.
Oh, wow. What's the website address of Evans Incorporated?
EvansIncorporated.com.
We've been speaking with Sue Evans, CEO of Evans Incorporated. This is your host, Herb Cohn. We've had the opportunity of speaking with Jeff McClure, co-founder and CEO of Freedom Capital, Frank Pietrantonio, partner in charge of Cooley LLP, Russell Inman, CEO of Cobalt, and most recently, Sue Evans, CEO of Evans Incorporated here on Executive Leaders Radio. I'd like to thank my co-hosts, William Tidwell, Cressa, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Katie Jordan-Verisov, Andrew Lewis, Lewis Financial Group, and John Hillen, George Mason University, for giving me a hand structuring the questions. Hopefully providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. I'd like to thank our listening audience for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. That's executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, let me grab a couple of websites here. The website address for Cressa is Cressa.com. Website address for Potomac Companies is...
PotomacCompanies.com.
Website address for Verisolve is
Verisolve.com.
Website address for the Lewis Financial Group.
thelewisfinancialgroup.com.
And the website address for George Mason University?
gmu.edu.
And everybody have a nice day, and bye.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio.